Hello and welcome to this special encore episode of the Pondercast as we await new content for Season 4. Please enjoy, and as always, let's get pondering.
And so I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, some Christian, some just information, some things like the Karen, you know, it's just random things. But some of the Christian podcasts I listen to, they've had people on who were used to be Christians and they kind of turned away from their faith, as they would say, or people who are a little more liberal than you and I in their faith, and they just kind of interview them and talk about ideas. And one common thread I found is that they found that theology and certain aspects of theology were detrimental to their faith. And they found that, like, by learning too much, they actually kind of went totally backwards and spiraled backwards into a place of unbelief now. And it was really interesting hearing, like, their conversations and why they kind of came to that. And so I was hoping we can kind of talk about that today, if you're up for it. Is there a place where theology can be too much? And this is really, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of uncomfortable talking about it because we're a theology podcast. You know what I mean? So it's like, obviously there's some value to it, but like, is there some harm to it? Can it be destructive? Can it be a negative? Any initial thoughts on that, or do you think that's kind of bogus, or do I need to get more information?
Well, I have a lot of feelings about that. It may be because of the coffee I just drank, but my first question is, what did they find harmful about studying theology? What were they studying? What were they
right? Yeah.
What were they? What trail were they going down? What were the reasons that they would find those certain topics to be harmful? What topics?
Right.
Did they find harmful that led them into unbelief or to leave the faith?
Right. Well, one of them was like what our second episode was, predestination and free will, and kind of mend that. And a lot of these guys talked about like how the anxiety of trying to figure that out, the pressure, and how that can actually mess with your mind, because it can. Like, I don't know if you ever felt that, but I definitely have. Like, the idea of trying to mend the idea of our free will and God choosing people. Like, for me, a few years ago, that, like, it drove me nuts. Like, I don't, like, it honestly, when I first was presented with this, it was not healthy because I just kept, like, dwelling on it, and I couldn't ever come to a conclusion. Eventually, I did, but some people don't and just kind of give up on the idea, which I think is wrong. Like, obviously we should continue to pursue until we find an answer, but I wonder if we put too much emphasis on that, if it can be harmful and can be wrong.
Well, if you're dwelling on something so much that it's leading you to unbelief,
obviously it's too much for you. Well, can I give you a different example, maybe? Sure, a better one. Sure. Perhaps. So like the doctrine of hell. Okay. So, I mean, lots of people, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but like the conversation of hell and how, I mean, okay, I'm just going to put everything on the table here. Bible camps, I think, are notorious for using this. Not all Bible camps. I'm not saying it's like a staple thing, but to literally scare the hell into kids, like scare them into receiving salvation. And I think sometimes it backfires big time, because I think this whole idea of hell can definitely cause anxiety and cause depression, fallback, lack of trust in God, lack of belief in God. If we don't fully understand, if we don't have a fuller view of God and fuller doctrines, if this is all we're taught, I think it can be harmful. I don't know. What do you, like? I'm just kind of spitballing here. These are just kind of things that they that these guys were talking about. So it's kind of what I've been listening to, and just these people's experiences of how growing up, church always taught hell, that's where you go if you're not good with God. Like that's where you go if you're not in line with God. If you've never received Christ, that's where you go. Mm-hmm. And just to see that like plague people's minds for so long, it was just interesting to me because I never thought about that. Maybe I've never thought about hell that seriously or never thought about the idea of it so intently. Mm. Maybe that's on me. Maybe I should have never studied it as aggressively. Maybe I should. Or maybe I should have more assurance of my salvation, right? Mm. I don't know. Maybe that plays into it as well.
It sounds like these are a lot of common things that people just latch on to. And then that just, they cannot get out of that mindset. And then that forms their view of God. Whereas it should be the other way around.
Right.
Where ideally, we have a solid view of God. And that's informing, that's in the back of our mind as we're thinking about all these other topics.
Yeah. And I think that's where we need to start. Like that's kind of what I drew from it as well. But it's just hard to, I guess from my experience, it's hard to just jump into one of these topics without knowing about God's character at all. Like, why is that the first thing we talk about? Like, why is that the first episode we did? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the first? But we also went in with the assumption that people aren't just listening to this as their first taste of Christianity, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But if they were, it probably wouldn't be very beneficial, I wouldn't think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, there are all sorts of reasons why people leave the faith and they just stop believing. And I can't really judge people's hearts, but a properly studying theology should not lead down a road of leaving the faith. It just goes against what you're doing. If you're properly studying theology, it should lead you down a road of intimacy with God, conforming to his image, becoming more like God, experiencing the joy of the Lord. I'm kind of simplifying it, but a study of theology really should not go down a road of, now we're going to leave the faith. Like it just, that's bizarre to me that happens. So therefore I cautiously wonder, what is it that people just, there are a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And is it that they're just tired of believing? They're tired of they're tired of trying to do Christianity. There may be other things that are going on in their life that are informing that influencing their thinking, and they're just tired and they want to give up. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but even like I remember reading, I think Tim Keller said this, when a freshman would come back from college, like a secular university or something, and they'd say, I don't really believe in God anymore. And he said, who are you sleeping with? I thought, oh, wow, that's quite a question to ask somebody. Quite presumptuous. But there's that kind of thing.
Right.
But also that person isn't necessarily genuinely asking questions. They're just trying to say, I don't want God anymore because I don't want to live according to the standard of Christianity anymore. That's not all people though. Some people are genuinely on searching and thinking through things, and it just doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out. That's interesting. But yeah, and I mean, it gets hard because we can't see the hearts of people. I mean, we can't see what their intention is in anything. And so it makes it kind of hard to say, well, this is why they left, or this is why. But I do think what you're taught does play into that a lot. Like if you're taught that if hell is taught more than Christ, do you mean? Well, of course you're. Oh, of course you're going to be terrified. Absolutely. Like, why would you fall? Like, why would you believe? You know, if that's what your basis of your belief is on. I mean, you could argue it's not even Christianity at that point, right? It's almost like some, I don't know. I don't want to say anything I'll regret saying, but it's almost like a cultish thing. If you're more scared of hell than more accepting of Christ, or more wanting to be like Christ, then I think it's right. Backwards. I think that was the problem with, like I said, this is kind of just a couple of interviews I was listening to, 3 or 4, and they all had the same kind of story. Like, hell was just at the forefront and Christ was kind of at the backdrop. And these are Americans, so it's no one close to us. Like, no one, you mean, right, nothing right. That I feel like I need to be kind of careful. Don't say any churches or names or anything. These are all like American churches. Right. But it was just really interesting to hear their take on it, that what you're taught, what you read, what you study, if you only study one branch of theology, it can definitely deter you from your path.
Ooh, yes.
Like, tremendously.
There is such a movement, there's such a large movement right now in Christianity. It's called ex-evangelical. The meaning that these people have left evangelicalism. They've either left the faith completely, or they've just detached themselves from everything evangelical, and they're either Catholic or Anglican or whatever.
Right.
Usually very suspicious of evangelicals, almost bitter at evangelicals. You see that a lot lately, where people, and they of course have to post about it on Instagram and say, oh, I went through this wonderful experience and now I'm free from the shackles. If that's not Christianity. Christianity is not shackles. So if there's a, like, I hate to say it, but a lot of evangelicalism is very legalistic and very close-minded to just anything that's outside their thinking, they're closed-minded to. And I think for a lot of people, that really drives them away from Christianity, because they can't, they just think this is what it is. This is, people have given them the impression or told them, you can't think anything other than what we're shoving down your throat. And so, well, I don't want this, but if they're able to go down a road of actually being open and willing to study and going past the boundaries that have been set for them, then, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. And I think that does happen for people,
right?
Where they come out of a tradition that really stifles their curiosity. And that starts from a young age, where you say to kids, you can ask any question you want here.
Yeah.
And then they know that there's a culture of curiosity, but also, where do we have our, this is always the question though. Where are the boundaries?
I think you're onto something there. Where is the line between rejecting evangelicalism and just changing? And being different and being okay with that. And there's a lot of terms here that we don't really define. We're not defining properly, I don't think. Like, evangelicals, we're kind of looping everyone, and liberal Christians, we're kind of looping. And it's not fair to say that, because everyone's got their preconceived idea of what a liberal Christian is, which would be different than my opinion of what a liberal Christian is, for sure.
I just hate those terms. When somebody's like, I grew up in a conservative Christian household. So
what does that mean?
Well,
I'll tell you what it means. It means you're probably complementarian, right? That's pretty conservative thought.
Conservative Christian family sounds like code word for a legalistic family.
It does.
Let's be honest here.
It does. Yeah, you're right. I would agree. That's what it sounds like. I'm stuck on the word liberal. Like, I can't think of a different word, but you know what I mean? Like, or I'm stuck on the word liberal and progressive, but those aren't the words I want to use.
Progressive is a better word.
But I don't want to use that word either, because it has a more negative, like, it has a negative connotation to it, which I don't want it to have. I'm not meaning it in that way. But is there room for this progression in conservative, in more conservative churches? I think there should be a little bit of it, but like you said, where's the line? Do you know what I mean? Like, because you listen to some progressive Christians and all of a sudden the Bible isn't inerrant. The Bible's not God's word anymore, or it's not perfect. And well, then what do you do? You're basically making your own Bible at that point, right? And mm-hmm. And so there is definitely a line of this is where we need to stand, but where is that line? And I think that's kind of the whole purpose of this podcast, kind of is, right. Is us looking at these topics and finding a line. So I don't know. And that's kind of the whole point in all of this is where do we fall on all these
exactly.
things?
Exactly. Isn't it funny that this is episode 20 and we're really talking about our mission statement?
It's about time. But
which
but
is not what we were planning to do.
No. But back to the point of the whole thing is that if there's not room for this progression, if there's not room for this changing, you think it can draw people away from the faith because it's too liberal, it's too not too liberal, it's too conservative, it's too what's the word I'm looking for?
Restrictive.
Restrictive, thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not the word I was looking for, but that one works. But do you think that is a reason why people follow? Do we need to kind of change how we think about things so it is more easier, or is that too dangerous? Like, I think there's an aspect of it is not good.
I don't know. Because some people just leave the faith, and we could do everything that we wanted to, and they'll still leave. Like, people just don't want to, that people don't want to stand firm on the fact that Christianity has historically held to marriage as one man and one woman.
Yeah.
And people just don't really like that. That, I mean, it would be easier to just say, yeah, let's just welcome everybody in and who cares?
It would be easier.
It is very easy to do that. And so that's why people just leave because they don't want to fight against culture. It's hard to fight against culture.
Yeah.
And that's just the nature of Christianity, though. Really, that's historic Christianity is going against the culture. So within the culture of Christianity, though, sometimes we have to go against the culture of Christianity as well. Whatever the culture may be, the subculture within our little group of Christianity, whatever it may be, sometimes we may have to push against it. You know that I'm very much, well, so are you. We're very open to different opinions and different views on things.
Yeah.
Like I have all sorts of books over there on that bookshelf that are from different points of view. Like I have a book on Roman Catholics and like Eastern Orthodoxy.
But you have a whole bunch of different books so you can get different views. Like that's why I listen. Like that's why I listen to people who do think the Bible has errors in it. Not because I believe what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it I don't actually agree with, in my opinion, just because it's like that. Like this guy just says, Paul, when he says this, he's wrong. God didn't want him to say that. He just made a mistake and God doesn't believe that. And I thought, what? Like he just threw away scriptures because he didn't like what it said. And so like obviously I'm not ever gonna be there, but I just challenge you to think, do I think that? No, absolutely not. Like
right.
I think all scripture is meant there and is useful and God breathed and it's not wrong. I don't think the Bible is, I don't know what the opposite of inerrant is. I think the Bible is inerrant. There, that's what I want to say. Right, that means no errors, right? I'm right on that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original, yeah.
But I think we still need to be open to hearing these different views and different ideas because I think it is beneficial just to it challenges what our preconceived idea is always. Because no one who brings out these points has a bad reasoning for it. Like most people have a decent reasoning. The guy I listened to obviously didn't, but some people do. And I think it is beneficial listening to them and kind of making us think and think differently about what we have been taught our whole lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going back to this question then, can theology be destructive? Can it be harmful? Yes, of course it can. Just like any good thing. Well,
can I give a story here?
Many
can I give
things
a story
can
real
be
quick.
Harmful. Yes, sure.
So, like I said, all my information is coming from podcasts these days. But have you ever heard of hell houses?
No.
So imagine a haunted house, okay?
Oh, I just saw this on The Simpsons today, actually. With Ned Flanders.
Oh, goodness. But these actually existed, hey? Like, hell houses. You can actually buy them. And all it is like, each room is set up as, like, a deadly sin. So, like, they have an abortion room. And they have, like, premarital sex room. They have all these rooms. And then the last room's like the salvation room that you can receive Jesus there. And listening, like hearing about that, this was a long time ago I heard about these hell houses, but I was like, that is not helpful theology. Like that's hard. That's not theology, but you're still, it kind of is. You mean you're still portraying the doctrine of what hell is like. And I couldn't help but think that is definitely, that can't be good. That can't be helpful. I don't know, maybe it is. I don't know. I thought that can't be. So from things like that, when I hear things like that, and that being more important than the gospel of Christ's kingdom, it just seems like some theology, if taught wrong, is harmful.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, maybe... I think all theology is good to know, but maybe not in a certain order. You need to kind of figure it out.
There is a proper time and a place for things to be taught. For people like that, if you're taking them through a house like that, I mean, what's the point?
Yeah. Well, it's scare. It's scare salvation is all
right,
it is.
Right.
At that point.
Well, and shouldn't it be more of a God loves the world so much? God loved the world so much that he sent his son. I mean, that's a wonderful aspect of the gospel, that God loved the world. God hates sin, but he loves the world. That's theology, that God is loving.
Yeah. So to flip that around, is it not enough just to love people? Like, and love Jesus, love others, and not care about theology to a certain extent?
Well, of course.
Because, like, I know people who could...
Nobody is saved by how much they know.
No, but, like, no one... I know people who could care less about predestination or free will or the doctrine of hell or eschatology... People just do not care about it. Like, it just, whatever. And they just go on living for Jesus. They love him. You know, they serve others. They go out of their way. They give. They're so generous with what they have. They recognize none of it's theirs. It's all from God. And I just think, are you better off than hindering? But then on the other side, I know people who are, if you don't have your eschatology right, you might not have your Christian, you may not have your salvation right, and it's like, I don't know about that seems a little too far on the other side, right? But people are like that, right? Like, some people are like that. And so maybe we're just going in circles here. Is there a line? But I sometimes think people who just love others and be Christ like rather than studying and trying to get all the answers all the time.
Yeah, it's There's the two extremes. Don't care, care too much.
Yeah.
And I really think that it's good to be in the middle, because people who say they don't care about theology actually do. Because
right,
everybody cares about theology to an extent, but how much do they care about the periphery, whatever the word is,
the concentric circles.
Right,
tertiary, outer circles.
Yeah, the issues on the periphery.
You said periphery a lot right there.
I know.
Probably 12 times you said.
I know. I was just trying to make sure that we get a good take on that.
Got 12 takes of it.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something there. Continue. Well,
what I was going to say, though, is that there's those people, of course, that love God, they love other people, and they don't care whatsoever about eschatology or some of these other things,
mm-hmm.
which is fine, but they believe in God. Mm-hmm. They believe, hopefully, that you need Jesus and all these other things, because that's theology. Theology shouldn't be thought of as a dry science where we're just studying books and, you know, trying to gain information. That is part of it, but it also should be renewing our mind. It's about studying scripture, wrestling with what other people have said throughout the ages and today, and letting that form our thinking about God, thinking about ourselves, thinking about other people, thinking about how do we do church. That's a part of theology. So it's very much an active, it's a living science where you need faith to enter into theology. This is something that I was kind of surprised that you brought this up as a topic for this week, because I had to write a paper on spirituality and theology this week.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really emphasizing in my paper that the study of theology, which should be grounded in scripture, the end goal of that endeavor is maturity, spiritual maturity, becoming more like Christ. So it's not just look at me, I have all this information. Now, for me, I enjoy studying. It's an enjoyable thing to ponder a lot of these different issues. But in the end, I know when it's appropriate to bring things up and when not to bring things up. And what I'm not going to bring certain things up in the pulpit or Bible study, because I know it's not necessary, it's controversial, but I still like to study these kind of things.
Right.
Where am I going with this? Oh, yeah. So with the person who doesn't care, air quotes, care about theology, they do. I'm not going to tell them, you do care about theology. It's the church that does theology. So it's not limited to doing it together, or doing it by ourselves, I should say. It's being taught from the pulpit as well. And
I think discipleship plays into this too.
Right.
Because like, I mean, that's kind of what you're getting at too, the whole preaching, and it's a community thing. Because if you do just study by yourself and do theology by yourself, you aren't really discipling people. You're not making disciples. You're not really loving others by trying to grow with one another, right? If you're just doing this for yourself, maybe you are loving God through it. That's up to you and God, but you're not really loving others. But I think you can love others through learning and through growing with one another and spurring each other on through what you are learning. And so I've kind of been asked throwing loaded questions at you in this whole thing, but just different ideas. But I think that's where I land on it, is that you can, theology is beneficial. I think there are some strands that we do have to be careful about that can lead people not wanting to believe anymore or turn them away from God if we don't articulate well, if we don't explain well, if we don't do it in the right timing. But I do think we can still love people. And I don't know if that necessitates needing to study deep theological questions or deep theology.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think some theology is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, should we wrap it up?
I think we shall.
All right.
You know what the deal is, folks. Join the conversation.
We appreciate it.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
We love you all. We do.
Yeah.
We like that you're listening.
We appreciate it.
Let us know what you think. Is theology important?
Do you find this podcast important? Maybe you don't share that. Actually, if you do, we'd like to hear from you. But honestly, do review us if you would. That'd be great. Or leave a message on Facebook. We'd really appreciate it. Just to get your thoughts and what you think about it.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, until next week.
Keep pondering.